You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, I need you to subscribe to Locked On Mets wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, I am first going to go through the last couple of days of Grapefruit League action, talk about what has happened in those games, and Edwin Diaz's first outing of the spring. Later on in the show, I'm going to talk about a couple of injury concerns with J.D. Davis and potentially Brandon Nimmo and a very, very early and overreactionary star of spring training, Ryan Cordell. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizeOnline.com. On yesterday's episode, I did not talk about the spring training game as I got some early news for me to go off of for the podcast. So I did not talk about the Mets game against the Detroit Tigers on Tuesday. They lost 9-6. Michael Wacha got the start, pitched two innings, struck out two, walked two, allowed a hit, but no run. So a nice start to the spring for Wacha. The other big highlight was Tim Tebow hit an opposite field two-run homer. For all the people that believe Tim Tebow is not a real baseball player, how many of you can hit a home run against whatever pitcher it was, honestly? I don't know. Probably a single-A guy. Doesn't matter. Give Tebow credit for going yard. He is also reportedly going to play in the World Baseball Classic, but not for Team USA, for the Philippines team in the qualifying round. If you don't know, Tim Tebow was actually born in the Philippines as his parents were doing missionary work out there. Moving on to Wednesday's game, the Mets lost 4-2 to the Houston Astros, who were met with a healthy dose of booze as they arrived to Port St. Lucie. Noah Syndergaard was on the mound. He pitched two scoreless innings, allowed one hit, and struck out two. Justin Wilson pitched a scoreless inning as well. You go to some of the offensive news. Ryan Cordell, who I'll talk about a little bit later, hit a home run, his first of the spring, and Dominic Smith got an RBI hit. The person that I really wanted to talk about, though, is Edwin Diaz. He makes his spring debut. He allowed three hits, two runs, needed 25 pitches to work his way through the fourth inning. Obviously, those aren't the results that Diaz would have liked to start off his spring. I'm sure he would have loved to come in, strike out the side on 11 pitches, and go play some golf or go fishing, whatever. That's not what happened. I don't really care about the results. I will say this a million times. Spring training doesn't matter. It just doesn't. But with this guy in particular, the microscope is clearly on him because Mets fans are going to be tough on a Mets closer. It's just that simple. Being a closer in baseball is like being a kicker in football. It's a thankless job. If you notch the save, if you kicked a game-winning field goal, you just did your job. Hats off. You get, you know, a pat in the back. That's it. If you miss the field goal, if you give up the home run that blows the game, you're the GOAT. Everyone hates you. And so it's a terrible position to be in. But that's the reality of the situation. And unfortunately for Edwin Diaz, he kind of put this on himself by his performance last year. And so when he gives up a sharp single, there's going to be some guy in Port St. Lucie that starts booing him, that yells, "Diaz, you suck," whatever it is. That's going to happen. And it kind of takes me back to a fond spring training memory that I have when I was, 15, 16 years old, somewhere around there. and me and my dad went to a game at Port St. Lucie, and Oliver Perez, at the end of his Mets tenure, came in to pitch. Now, I'm probably remembering this wrong, but from my memory, it was somewhat of a close game, and Oliver Perez starts warming up, and immediately you have a couple of fans who were enjoying their spring vacation and had a few beers automatically go at him. Just, Ollie, 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 you suck, whatever it was, before he even threw a pitch. And then Perez proceeded to give up. In my memory, it was like 11 home runs, but obviously I'm probably exaggerating that. It was maybe two or three. But with every home run, with every hit he gave up, everyone in the crowd started to feed off that energy. I may have been swept up with the boo birds, I don't know. And Perez basically saw the end of his Mets tenure. He goes off the mound, he gets pulled. He got shelled. And it was a confirmation bias of sorts for a Mets fan base who was fed up and done with watching what Perez did in the regular seasons of the past. Edwin Diaz is tracking in that direction with the fan base. They don't trust him right now. And any time he makes a mistake, they're going to get on him until he proves otherwise, until he gets back to some of that Seattle form. And what concerns me with that is this idea of Edwin Diaz being able to handle New York. You can say whatever you want, and you can minimize it and say that playing New York isn't any different. The reality is there's a bigger media presence. The fan base is going to get on you when you aren't succeeding. There is a difference between playing baseball in New York for the Mets and playing out in Seattle. And to Diaz, I can give you all the qualifiers. It could have been the baseball change last year. He couldn't get the grip on the slider. I can talk about his xFIP, his strikeout rate, the nasty stuff, the movement on his pitches, all that stuff can be fine and well, and Edwin Diaz could just have run into bad luck, and he's still a great pitcher. But the question of can he handle New York has to be in the back of everyone's minds right now after they watched him go from the best closer in baseball to one of the worst. It flipped like a light switch. And so I don't want to see him continue to get roughed up in spring training. Not because that matters, not because spring results will prohibit him from having a great regular season, but because you want Edwin Diaz to go into the regular season with a little bit of confidence. And I'm just concerned that if this becomes a pattern, if he's getting booed by Mets fans at Port St. Lucie, if he's not having results, what does that mean for his mindset going into opening day? That's just something that I'm a little bit concerned about. But I'm not concerned about the talent. We'll just see if he can put it all together. Anyway, in just a minute, going to talk about some of the early injuries in camp. So on Tuesday, JD Davis had to leave the Mets game against the Tigers with an apparent shoulder injury as he went down hard on his left shoulder trying to make a play on a ball. It did not look pretty at first. He got the MRI. The news was relatively positive. There's no significant structural damage. There was a previous tear to his labrum that must have come from another injury. It's wear and tear. It's not something that they're overly concerned about. The inflammation, according to Brody Van Wagenen, was not too severe. At the same time, they're monitoring it. He's going to have to not play for at least a week, maybe two. And so as you go through an injury in spring training, the clock starts to tick on opening day. That's something that you have to start to think about. This might not be that bad, but we've seen Mets players where a little injury kind of snowballs. So it's concerning that JD Davis had this. He doesn't seem too worried about it. He kind of brushed it off as a non-factor. But until he's actually back on the field and in the lineup, it's something to be a little bit concerned about because he's supposed to play a pretty big role on this team. You don't know if Cespedes is going to be ready for opening day. So that is something that I think could prove to be a pretty big factor if he's not better in that two-week timetable. Moving over to Brandon Nimmo, he missed Wednesday's game after originally being in the lineup because he had to go see a heart doctor. Apparently, the Mets cardiologist had decided that Nimmo maybe needed some further screening. We don't know how worried to be about this. They don't seem to be too concerned right now. Everyone's downplaying the issue. It didn't seem like Brandon Nimmo actually missed this game because his heart was acting up or concerning anyone. It was more like the specialist that could see him had an appointment, so he had to go and at that time and see the doctor. So I'm sure we'll learn more about this. With the Mets, you're always concerned with little things like this. I remember the spring training with Jose Reyes and the thyroid, and these things are never as simple as the Mets first proclaim, but hopefully, fingers crossed, everything checks out at that appointment, and Nimmo is just fine and in the lineup again very soon. With these apparent injuries to outfielders, I do want to spend a minute on Ryan Cordell because he is turning some heads and he's getting some attention because he hit a home run, and it's interesting. I'm not overreacting to spring. I'll say it again. But this guy looks like someone that might factor into the Mets' plans at some point this season with injuries. Because as I've talked about, the depth in the outfield, particularly at the minor league level, is not that great. And you have someone in Cordell who spent 97 games with the Chicago White Sox last year. Did he hit great with the White Sox last year? That would be a no. He batted .221 with a .290 on base percentage and a .355 slugging percentage for a paltry .645 OPS. So that doesn't inspire much confidence. But he's one of these guys, and I've said it already. You look at him and he looks like a ball player. He's 6'4", and you look at some of these metrics on his athleticism through StatCast, and he could be a pretty good defensive outfielder. Last year, he was in the 92nd percentile among outfielders and outs above average. He was positive in both center field and right field, was worth 5 outs above average in right and 2 in center. His outfield jump was in the 98th percentile, and his sprint speed was in the 96th percentile. So that side of the ball is something that Cordell does well. He's going to be better out there than a majority of the Mets outfielders. The bat is a concern. I don't know if he's actually going to be able to hit. You look at his minor league career, he is a .273 hitter across nearly 2,000 at-bats in the minor leagues with a .334 on-base percentage and a .458 slugging percentage, good for a .792 OPS. But he also only has 70 home runs in 517 games in the minor leagues. So I don't know if the power is really there. He hits one spring home run. I don't know what he brings. Could he be this year's Angel Pagan? Maybe. You go back and you look at Angel Pagan in 2008 when he first made the Mets out of spring training. He hit .329 with a .386 on-base percentage and a .461 slugging percentage across 27 games in spring training. He had 3 doubles, 2 triples, a home run, 10 RBIs, drew 7 walks, 5 stolen bases. He was one of those guys that played almost every day of spring and did enough that he earned himself a job. Ryan Cordell is that type of a spring training player. He is going to be in the lineup most days as you are either putting him in later on in spring as a replacement for your main guys, your Confortos, your Nimmos, all those. And right now, early in spring, he's going to get a lot of playing time as those primary position players are only taking about 2 at-bats, maybe 3 at the most. You have split squad games. So you're going to see a lot of Ryan Cordell throughout spring training, and if he plays well, if J.D. Davis isn't ready, if Yoenis Céspedes isn't ready, if injuries start to squeeze that bench a little bit, then you'll see Luis Guillorme more likely to make the team if Lowry's not ready. If Davis or Céspedes isn't ready, who's the outfielder that's going to step in? So someone like Cordell could sneak onto this roster if he continues to play well. The sample size is ridiculously small. I'm not even talking about the numbers at this point. I think he has 4 hits and 11 at-bats. So he's just starting spring. But he does have a certain skill set that could be valuable to this team. And he's just a player to keep your eye on throughout spring training. Anyway, that'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. Tune in tomorrow as I'm supposed to have a guest on to talk about Michael Wacha, who is very familiar with his career. Also, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. I may be appearing on an episode of Locked On MLB very soon, so keep your eyes out for that. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.